Before I get started, a couple of things. I had something in my message this morning and I pulled it out, but then while we were doing worship, it really felt like I needed to share. Someone in here needed to hear that. And it was from that good old Christian rock band, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And there's a verse in one of their songs that says, "Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now." Whatever was in the past is in the past. In fact, Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our wrongdoings from us." So what's in the past is the past. We're working over here. So hopefully that ministers to somebody. Another thing, Steve mentioned and brought up, Natalie, you know, the young adults in this church are awesome.
Yes, they are.
They just blow me away. And as he said, you know, the future of this church is in good hands. And I so appreciate what you guys are doing. Male and female. I mean, it doesn't make any matter. I've seen those ladies get out there and do some hard stuff. Last week, we kind of are getting back into the groove of elders getting involved with the service again. The ladies and the young adults are very gracious to allow us to, you know, come up here and speak. But I want to bring up Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
You know, as far as preparing God's people for works of service, I believe that's what we did in part over the last couple of months by turning over the service to the women's ministries and the young adults. And wow, you guys rocked it. You guys just, I'm so proud. Proud of you. The way you stepped up, the messages that you gave, the service that you gave. And I hope you realize that, you know, we got a couple of new faces up here ushering. They're stepping into some stuff, you know. And I so appreciate that. You guys are just killing it. They're doing such a great, great job. Women's ministries, they spoke on protective covenant, kingdom of God, honor, what color is your vision? Then the young adults came up and they spoke on knowing and living in truth, the favor, and why we share testimonies. Should I jump on the handheld or are we good? I can go now? Okay. I'm sorry? Tilted. Oh. See, it's been so long since I've been up here doing this. Is that any better? Okay. And each one of them brought with them, with their teaching, a unique perspective. And that's what I really wanted to key in on. You know, their individual uniqueness painted such a beautiful picture of the church. And each one of them brought something to that painting that no one else had. And like I say, you guys just killed it. You just blew me away. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21, and then down to 26. It says, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eyes cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Dropping down to verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, all parts are honored. That's what it means to be part of the body. I like how John Bevere said, we are working towards the same goal. If you go further than me, it's also to my advantage, because we are one. We are all working for a common purpose and for the glory of one King. You know, I liken this to, we have two sons, proud of both of them, and to watch them succeed in life just brings me so much joy. I get to partake in that. I played a part of that. I'm plugged into them. They're part of me. Just like each and every one of you are part of this body. Taking joy when the young adults come up here and share and do wonderful things. Take joy when the women's ministry get up here and share and do incredible things. Each of us are part of this wonderful body. It's called the Encounter. And each of us has a responsibility, a duty, to fulfill his unique purpose for this place. If you're not plugged in, if you're not doing something, I challenge you to do something, to go up here and usher, to go and help clean up, to go and teach children's church. You know, I look at Cheryl. How many years did you teach children's church, Sunday school? Too many. Many, many, many. Well done. Well done. You know, there's a lot of adults, young adults here that have been brought up through Cheryl's ministry. And it's because she was part of the body and fulfilling her purpose in that body. Yeah. And like I say, I challenge everyone here that if you're not plugged in and doing something, do it. Find out where the need is and plug in. Purpose. I'm saying all this to say, I'm going to be talking about purpose this morning. This is just kind of an intro. Purpose. Webster says, it's something one intends to get to, intention, aim, resolution, determination. It means not living life randomly, but with positive intentionality. Having purpose means having a clear sense of direction, motivation, and meaning in life. How many know that meaning in life is important? One person does. Let me just reinforce that. It's important, okay? It involves understanding what drives and fulfills you. You know, you're aligning your actions and your goals with your values. You know, otherwise we're just going to wander around aimlessly trying to fill our life with meaningless things. God, you know, so what does the word say about purpose? God speaking to Moses in Exodus 9:16. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed to all the earth. That's some purpose. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. Philippians 2:1-3. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Then lastly, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You have purpose. If you're a Christian, you have purpose for the kingdom. You know, you may be surprised, but there are a lot of benefits to having purpose in life. It's improved mental and physical health, increased motivation, resilience, better life satisfaction and overall well-being, a greater sense of direction and meaning, enhanced relationships and social connections, all good things. Conversely, though, there are consequences in lacking purpose. Feeling empty, unfulfilled, disconnected from others, anxiety, depression, being overwhelmed, lack of motivation and inspiration, feeling lost and uncertain about one's path in life, increased stress and burnout, and negative self-talk and self-doubt. One can see these symptoms manifest in a number of different ways. In people, you get despair, you get suicidal thoughts, you get people that are just giving up on life because they don't have purpose. Our country seems to have lost its purpose. A little rabbit hole. Hopefully, after Tuesday, our purpose will start coming back. But it seems to me that the root cause of many of our societal woes can be boiled down to the lack of following the will of God. He was clearly very important to our country's fathers, as he indicated in the founding documents of the United States. I have my handy dandy little Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. I mean, this is some good stuff. If you know, I recommend that everyone read it occasionally just to reinforce how good and how incredibly thoughtful, and they had this forethought of what was going to be happening in this country. The founding fathers, this document still stands the test of time. You know, almost 250 years ago. Those men were brilliant. And God was a big part of this document, these documents. The founders said they acknowledged the divine providence and the role of God in the nation's founding and governance. Many of the founding fathers were Christians. and their beliefs really influenced the drafting of these documents. And the Constitution was seen as a compact between the people and their government, with God serving as a witness. How far we've come from those things. And today, in God we trust, we only see that on our money and not necessarily in the hearts of our leadership. We need to get back to that. In God we trust always, in all things. Unfortunately, I believe that the church has lost its purpose too. And I'm not saying this church, I'm saying the church. Okay? There's some crazy wacko stuff that's going on out in some of these churches. Far too many of them are not teaching the full gospel. And instead, what you're getting down is some watered-down version, so, you know, it makes it a little bit more palatable, so you don't want to offend anyone. Well, sometimes you have to step on some toes. Truth is truth. And you want to take it up with God, you'll lose that. Truth is always truth. I like how David Ramsey, in one of his classes, he talks about, you know, he had everybody stand up and said, okay, point to where north is. And all the people in the audience, some are pointing this way, some that way, that way, that way. That's, you know, that's north. That's the truth. No matter how you felt, I feel like this is north. That's west. And no matter how you feel, the truth is north is this way. God is the truth. His word is truth. No matter how you feel or how you want to say, well, that's good for those guys or those times, it's not for today. That is a lie. Our guiding scripture for this house has been and will continue to be Hosea 6:3. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You know, sometimes we joke around and say, okay, well, what's going on? What are we doing? Well, we'll know because we're following on to know the Lord. And he's going to show us what's going on. And as long as we're following him, we're going to be in a good place. And one of our supporting scriptures is to, you know, is that we want to know him and to make him know. Now, if we do those things, you know, people cannot help but find purpose in their lives. As Christians, having purpose means living a life that aligns with God's will and plan for you and brings glory to his name. Everything needs to be God-focused. Everything we do needs to be, are we edifying God, not edifying John or Mackenzie, you know? We want to edify them, but our purpose is to edify God, right? As Christians, how do we find purpose in life? Put first things first. Seek guidance. Start by praying and asking God to reveal his purpose in your life. Bible encourages us to seek him with all our hearts. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek him first, and all this other stuff will kind of take care of itself. Reflect on your gifts, your passions. Look at what God has given you already. You know, are you a skilled artist? Are you a skilled carpenter, electrician? Tim, bless you, man. you know, can you use those gifts for the furtherance of the kingdom? Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen to others. Pay attention to what people say to you. There's a lot of times when people see in you the things that you cannot see yourself. Yeah. Give ear to them. Find out what it is that they're seeing in you. Draw close to them and say, hey, I want to find out more about this. Why do you see this? What am I doing? What can I do to increase in that area? Study the Bible. Increase your, just immerse yourself in Scripture. Align your priorities with God. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then embrace your role in God's plan. Recognize that your purpose is a part of a larger narrative of the church. Okay. Remember. Okay. Remember that finding purpose as a Christian is a lifelong journey, and it's not a one-time achievement, but rather a journey of discovery and growth. Be patient, be persistent, and faithful, and God is going to guide you every step of the way. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's so incredibly important to remember it's his purpose. We're not gathered here together just to have a good time. We have a good time, which is wonderful, because we're family. When family gets together, it's always awesome. Our purpose is him. Yeah. As long as we stay focused on that. Phew. You know, the Bible is very clear about what our purpose in life should be. It started back in Genesis. And what happened? God originally created man to, one, glorify God and enjoy fellowship with him. Two, have a good relationship with others. Three, work. And four, have dominion over the earth. What happened? The fall of man. They fell into sin. Fellowship with God was broken. Relationships with others was strained. Work seemed to always be frustrating, and man struggles to maintain any semblance of dominion over nature. It's only by restoring our relationship with him that we have a chance of getting our lives back in order the way he created it to be. The Apostle Paul talked about how he had achieved all that he had achieved religiously before being confronted by the risen Christ, and he concluded that it was all just like a pile of manure compared to the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus. In Philippians, Paul says that he wants nothing more than to know Christ and be found in him, to have his righteousness and to live by faith in him, even if it meant suffering and dying. Paul's purpose was knowing Christ, having a relationship with him, and faith and living in fellowship with him, even if that brought on suffering. Everybody knows what happened with Paul. Paul was out there persecuting all the Christians until he had an encounter. When you have an encounter with him, things change. Always for the good. Old things are cast away. You know, we've talked a lot about identity and what your identity in Christ looks like. A lot of people will say that identity and purpose kind of go hand in hand. A person's identity is shaped by their values, beliefs, experiences, which can influence their sense of purpose. Who are you in Christ? Our identity is rooted in Christ's finished work on the cross. It is his righteousness that covers us. Because we are in Christ, our identity is not defined by our past mistakes or our present circumstances, but by the grace and love of God. Kind of ties into that song verse that I mentioned at the first, don't let the past remind you of what you are not now. Proper identity comes from the impartation of the Heavenly Father speaking to our deepest parts, whether it's through personal encounters with Him, spending time in the Word, or through people He puts in our lives. Sharing ourselves with one another is critical. You have something that someone else needs. Share it. Someone does something great for you, always acknowledge that. Someone pops into your mind, go to them and say, hey, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, you get what's going on in your life. You know, as being part of the body, you give us, each one of us, permission to get in your face, to get in your business. Families do that. When correction is needed, correction is given. When love is needed, love is given. That's what families do. I saw this from Chris Balaton, who's one of the leaders over at Bethel Church in Redding, California. He says, what if I told you God doesn't have a single plan for your life? Sounds shocking, right? But hear me out. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God has a plan, a purpose for every single person on the planet. But I do not believe He has a plan for each person. What I mean is that God has called each and every one of us to fulfill a particular role in the context of history, and there are 1,001 ways He can get us there. Usually we think it's pretty straight line, you know, from point A to point B. Well, we get a lot of detours along the way. Instead of a singular pre-mapped path to your final destination, it is a little bit more like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of story. Just like Jesus, who fulfilled a grand purpose but was born in a manger due to no room at the end, your purpose isn't hindered by life's roadblocks. I want to propose to you, this is Chris speaking, that regardless of where you're at in life, whether you have a big dream and have no idea where to begin, or you've tried to fulfill your destiny and keep hitting roadblocks, that with a heavenly perspective, you can start walking towards your destiny today. This kind of reminds me when we were growing up, this a few years ago, there was this kind of a robot, yeah, there's this robot toy, and you know, you put it on the floor, and whenever it run into a wall or a chair or something, it would hit it and then kind of turn around and go over here until it hits something else and then go somewhere else. It didn't sit there and stay hitting the wall, hitting the wall, hitting the wall, hitting the wall. Go somewhere else. Do something else. So here's the five ways that he says you can get started. Number one, do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Approach everyday tasks with intention. They could be leading to your destiny. Number two, steward your responsibilities. Where you are now matters. God meets us in our places of responsibility. You want to have a role in, you know, everybody says, oh, I want to be up there preaching. I want to do this. I want to do that. Start with something else. You know, those roles that you plug into, whether it's taking, you know, kids' church, whether it's nursery, whether it's picking up the garbage that gets left around this place, whether it's helping out with communion. Start there, and you'll keep on growing and growing and growing, and you develop the skills that you're going to need as God gives you more and more. He doesn't just land it all on your lap and say, go at it. You know, He prepares us. And sometimes preparation doesn't look all that great to us. Well, I've got to do that, and I want to do this. No, do this with excellence, and you will be graduated to other things. Number three, view every job as training. The skills you're building now prepares you for future giants. I love that. You know, look at Goliath. Take it out. Show up with passion. Even when it's hard, extraordinary people give their best regardless of feelings. It reminds me of when we were putting a new roof on Broker Hall years ago. I came home after work, and I went up on the roof to, you know, start hammering some shingles, and I was the only one up there. And I'm looking around, I'm copping an attitude. Where's everybody else? Why am I the only one up here? I'm, you know, I worked a full day, and now I'm swinging this hammer, putting up shingles, and there's nobody else around. Boy, did he get a hold of me on that one. Show up with passion, even when it's hard. Yeah. Extraordinary people give their best regardless of feelings. Amen. I felt a certain way. Should not have been that way at all. I said, okay, God, you got me here. I'm going to do it unto you. Amen. Number five, whenever you do anything in this place, it's not for Bruce, myself, Steve, any of the leaders. It's for him. Is it too little or too much or too big for him to do it for him? Absolutely not. Number five, seek first his kingdom. Let God's kingdom be the foundation for everything else. Five easy steps, right? You need to embrace God's purpose and step into your destiny wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. New Christian, welcome aboard. Old Christian, what are you doing? I like what Rick Warren says. It says, you are made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Powerful stuff. I'm going to end with this. We got a quote from Mark Twain. Two most important days in your life, the day you're born and the day you found out why. Find out what God's purpose is for you and get excited about it, because he has a purpose for you. You just need to step into it and do it with gusto. Do it with passion. Do it with excellence, because you're doing it for him. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this word. Aubrey, if you can come on up, girl. Lord, you just are incredible, Father. The way you work in our lives, Father, the passion, the purpose that you give each and every one of us, Father. I just ask that you would speak to each individual that's in here this morning and listening on the TV, Father, that you would just anoint them with wisdom. Father, that you would open up their eyes, their hearts, and their ears to see, hear, and do what you have for them in their lives. So, Father, we just give you thanks. We praise your name. Amen.